Four undocumented teenagers from a Title I West Phoenix high school compete against the best engineers in the country from MIT with an underwater rover named Stinky and win. It's a made-for-Hollywood story that did, in fact, make those four dreamers famous years later when it was made into a big Hollywood film called Spare Parts.
Every day, in 100 ways, they are told that they are worthless, that they are beyond hope.
The more they need me, the more I start to wonder, am I going to let them down?
You remember everything you said about not giving up?
Well, we're not giving up.
Now, one of those students, Lorenzo Santillan, is making a name for himself in another realm, cooking. He's opened a food truck in Phoenix called Ni de Aquí, Ni de Allá, neither here nor there in English.
And he's determined to make his mark even as his status in this country remains up in the air. The Supreme Court is expected to make a decision about the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA, this spring or summer. Santillan spoke more about his journey with our co-host Lauren Gilger and says when he was on that Carl Hayden High School robotics team more than 15 years ago and went up against MIT, he didn't even know what MIT was.
To me, it didn't mean anything, really, like who MIT was. In my mind, it was just another school that we're competing against. Once their teachers mentioned it and, you know, put it into perspective, it changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the teachers always reminded us that we were only there to learn so that next year we could come back and, you know, try to be more competitive and try to make a ranking in first, second, or third, you know.
How did you get involved in the robotics team? Was it something you'd always liked?
So the political issue always comes up. I had a friend that his mom was going to be deported. Eventually she moved and he was my best friend in high school. As soon as that happened, I had nobody else to hang out with. And the robotics teachers so happened to be the marine biology teacher also. And he always kind of brought that robotics element into the conversation while he was in the class. Eventually, like, it just got me interested in other things that he was doing, which was the robotics thing. That so turned out to be the underwater robotics competition that we entered that year.
Tell us about Stinky. How hard was it to build?
The element of water was what made it more difficult because we had never waterproofed and made sure that no water was going in there, which we did have one leak. And that leak became something that we had to fix. And the way we build a robot, if we were to remove the whole component, it would take us like a whole week to redo. What we ended up doing was bypassing the whole situation by throwing tampons in there.
I did not know that detail. So you said you didn't really know who MIT was at the time. Like, you didn't know this was a huge opponent, like the premier engineering school in the country. So when you won, how big of a deal was it for you? Did you think that this would change your life?
Initially, no. I mean, Carl Hayden is 80% Hispanic, Title I. We all get, you know, receive free lunches. The thing about that is that it's also known for being a gang school, and like at that time it was just known for all the bad things that could happen, bomb threats and gang violence and police being on campus all the time. Mm-hmm. So for a school to beat MIT and all these elements that add up, us being undocumented and not known for any of this advancements in technology and just doing so much with so little, It meant the world, like just placing, you know, getting, you know, earning our first place the first time that we ever did it. It was mind blowing, really.
So then, you know, it blows up. The story goes everywhere. It becomes not only a documentary, but a movie. What was it like to sort of watch not only yourself, but then somebody playing you on screen in this big picture?
Before we got recognition and all that, No media outlets paid attention until one of our mentors sent out emails to people like Joshua Davis in Wired Magazine. Hmm. He picked it up and got really interested in it and couldn't believe the story he had heard.
Yeah.
After that first article in Wired Magazine, then we started getting like movie deals and all that. It takes time to make movies. One of the things that at the beginning they told us, Forrest Gump didn't take about 12 years to get made and finished and worked on in production and all that. So mm-hmm. They let us know, like, this might not even happen ever. So, yeah, I mean, we didn't have our hopes up. We're just excited that somebody was interested in our story and trying to make it, you know, put it in Hollywood.
So it sounds like this really changed your life in a lot of ways, but it was a long time coming.
Yes, it was. It's shaped our way.
It also enabled you to go to college?
So with the original article, an outpouring of funds before GoFundMe existed just started funneling into the district, and about $100,000 came in. So between us four, we just split that up, and it became $25,000. That allowed me to go to Phoenix College for an associate's degree in applied sciences, which is culinary arts. And once I graduated, DACA came in, and I was able to apply for a job and, you know, was able to work at a farm table restaurant that was really, really good and go from there.
So it really spurred you on.
Yeah. It changes the whole way of thinking, the mindset that, all right, instead of before DACA, it was like, all right, we have to create our own funding and make our own companies and all that. Mm-hmm. And that's what the teacher always reminded us, like, if there's not one way, there's going to be another way. Yeah. And that's always been applied, like, never give up, never feel like you gotta, you know, throw in the towel and walk away from what your passion is. And for me, it's cooking.
So now you've opened your own food truck?
Yeah, so we couldn't get any financing from the banks because didn't have credit. We didn't have any history with credit at all because of DACA, you know, it was just too new. So some people already knew us, and that's what we were able to get. So I'm thankful, and right now we've been with the food trailer for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I am actually having another trailer built now, and that's going to be coming out pretty soon too.
So you've grown it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So throughout all of this, like, your story is so affected by things that are out of your control, right? From your parents bringing you here when you were young to not being documented to DACA coming in and out of play. Now we're not sure where DACA will stand. It's in the courts. We're waiting for the Supreme Court to make a decision. How does that feel to sort of be at the mercy of lots of people who are making decisions that you know, really will directly affect your life?
It's unsettling. I'm always optimistic, and our teachers always reminded us that we can't let politicians' decisions control our lives. I created this company just because at the end of the day, nobody's going to be able to take that away from me. I'm still going to be a taxpayer. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to be a homeowner. And no politician, no person that is a lawmaker is going to change that at all. I share my story because maybe somebody out there is going to be listening and change their mind about how politics need to be run and how immigration needs to be perceived.
What about the name of the food truck? It's in English, neither here nor there.
Yeah, ni de aquí, ni de allá. From the beginning of the company, we couldn't find a name that was going to be catchy enough and like, oh, what is tacos this and tacos that? We couldn't think of anything. So when it came time to finish the trailer and wrap it up, ni de aquí, ni de allá, just stay there. Essentially, neither here nor there means we don't belong here in the United States and we don't belong in Mexico. And it also goes with the cuisine that we cook. I mean, Mexican food is global. Many spices come from all over parts of the world, creating this melting pot of moles and, you know, sauces and things that are so complex and rich and beautiful and delicious.
Well, I want to try it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Lorenzo Santillan, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.